This is criminal defense attorney Melissa Lefkowitz.
And this is relationship and trauma recovery coach Dorit Reichenthal.
And you're listening to Call for Justice right here on 790 AM. Now, we're going to try something very different tonight, and it's going to be amazing. What we're doing is called Counseling with Counselors.
That's right, Melissa. We've been working all week and we've decided that since the holidays are such a challenging time for so many, that we would try to help people out, and they give you guys the opportunity to call in with your challenges, with your struggles, especially around the holidays.
So if you're listening and you have a struggle or something that you just want to discuss, we are at 800-222-5222. Again, that's 800-222-5222. Now, it looks like we do have our first caller. Let's get the call right now. I happen to know who this caller is, Dorit. This happens to be one of my best friends on the planet. She's an amazing human being, and she's got a question for you. Kat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent.
Hi, Kat. So nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Suri.
So how can I support you today?
Well, you know, the holidays is, for me, is very challenging, and it's hard for me coping, you know. I lost my mother about 22 years ago, and her favorite season, of course, was Christmas.
Mm.
She'd make, you know, a lot of homemade ornaments, and we'd decorate, you know, the house and the tree. And I thought after she left this earth that, you know, I would kind of get adjusted as years went by. And, you know, spend it with my daughter and my grandson. But it doesn't get any easier for me. It's still hard after, you know, so long. So I was just wondering,
yeah,
do I cope with that?
So, Kat, it sounds like what you have is what we call complex grief, where, you know, you're really struggling. You know, 22 years later, every year around the holidays, around the loss of your mom, your beloved, wonderful mom. And I just want to clarify, is it mostly during the holiday season or is it year round?
Well, a lot of times, you know, I always, you know, I see something or maybe a picture of her, and then, you know, start to bring back memories, and I get, you know, a little bit depressed. But
yeah,
mostly during the Christmas season, because as I said, you know, that was her favorite, you know, just, and it hurts when, you know, I don't.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me, Kat. So Kat, when you think about your mom, right, and you said Christmas was her favorite season, do you have, like, memories, you know, warm, wonderful memories, something that you could share what she was like during the holiday season?
Oh, you know, it was such a big thing, you know, for her, because, you know, being that she was a flower decorator at a hotel.
Oh, wow.
In Waikiki, she would, every Christmas, because that was her favorite, she decorate a 10-foot tree.
Wow.
With all the ornaments. She made all kinds of Christmas bouquets. And I would always be there for 2 weeks. I take time off to help her.
Oh, my gosh. So this was a time when you really bonded with your mom. I mean, she was an amazing woman. She decorated. And this was a special time for you and your mom.
Yes, it was. And, you know, day in, day out, even after she gets through work, then we come home, then, you know, I would help her, you know, try to create, you know, ornaments, because she always liked to make, you know, hand ornaments and, you know, put it on the tree. So every year she had something different, and we would sit down and we laugh about it. And she said, "Ah, it doesn't work. Let's do it this way." And, you know, and it was just, you know, all the time. And that's the part that I, you know, really missed. And
so it was really so special. This was a very special time between you and your mom.
Yes,
and when you think about these special memories, Kat, where in your body do you feel like, as you think about your mom, is there any place in your body that you have any strong sensation as you think about that really joyous, beautiful time?
I guess mostly it hurts is, I guess, with my heart. You know, sometimes when I, you know, think about it so much, then I feel that it beats faster. Or it's just something that hurts, you know, and then I start to cry, you know.
Yeah, so can you put your hand on your heart and just notice the sensations in your heart? And as you think about and you remember the wonderful times that you decorated for Christmas with your mom and those special shared memories that you have with your mom, what are the feelings, what are the emotions that come up for you as you remember those times?
I guess it's mixed emotions. Well, when I think about the, you know, fun times that we had together, that it kind of lifts me, you know. And
so just stay with that.
Smile.
Just stay with that. Just close your eyes and put your hand up, keep your hand on your heart, and just remember those special, special times you had with your mom. Laughing, making the ornaments, decorating together, having a wonderful, wonderful time. And are there are there any words or thoughts that you could remember that come up for you as you have these warm feelings, memories?
I guess mainly it's the bonding that we had. And I wish that, especially my grandson, you know, when she passed away, he was only 3. So he rarely remembers, you know, too much about Christmas. And so, and I really don't talk about it because then I start to get depressed, you know. So I haven't been, you know, maybe I'm wrong for doing that, but.
Well, it's very important not to judge ourselves. Okay. But, you know, one of the things that's coming up for me is that your mom made Christmas very, very special for you.
Yes.
And is there a particular memory that you have that goes way, way, way back and that reminds you of a particularly wonderful, fun, joyous Christmas?
I guess it was mainly at her workplace. It was always a joy to be, you know, we have such memories. And there was at one time, I remember when I was little, she said, "Hey, you know what? Let's try and make a gingerbread house, you know." So I said, "Okay, well, we can try." And we would laugh because while we're making it, it'll fall, and, you know, we put it back. And she laughed so much that, you know, sometimes we didn't end up finishing it, and we tried. And it was so fun that year, you know. We tried making, then we tried with sugar cubes, and that kind of worked out.
And so as I hear you share this story about your mom and just how much fun she is.
Yes.
If she were here with you right now, what do you think she would say, or how do you think she'd feel, you know, that the last few Christmases you couldn't do that for your own grandson?
I guess she would be kind of sad because I guess she wanted to, you know, do it for my grandson, you know, to share with him. And I guess she would want me to, like, kind of carry on the tradition, which I did. And for the past 3 years, I haven't been putting up the tree because when I put up the tree and, of course, I see all her homemade ornaments, then I, you know, get sad. And
so,
then, of course, you know, he doesn't share that, you know, because we don't have anything up, you know.
So Kat, in a minute, we're going to have to take a commercial break. But it sounds to me, and I want to come back and talk to you some more, because it sounds to me that there's a part of you that has such wonderful memories about your mom and Christmas. Yeah. And there's another part of you that's really sad and still grieves your mom's loss. And I'm wondering if when we come back, we could work together to transform those sad feelings and use all those wonderful memories that you have to help you heal and create the Christmas that you would love to share with your daughter and grandson. Would you be willing to come back in just a moment after our commercial break?
Yes. Yes,
okay, so just stay on the line and we'll be right back.
We are back with Call for Justice. You're listening to Dorit and Melissa, and we're doing counseling with counselors. We have Kat on the line. And let's get to it.
So, Kat, can you put... So, we were just talking about how much Kat misses her mother, that she passed away 22 years ago, and that she's really sad because the last three Christmases she hasn't put up a tree. And, Kat, is it fair to say that you feel maybe you're depriving yourself and your daughter and your grandson of the wonderful, joyous Christmases that you had with your mom?
Yes, well, you know, I really never thought about, you know, I thought about maybe myself being depressed, but, you know, I never realized that, you know, I was really
impacting
my
daughter.
Yeah.
So I want to help you with this. Can you put your hand back on your heart?
Okay.
And, you know, most people think that memories are stored in the brain. But in reality, many of our memories are stored in our body at the cellular level. And so for you, whenever you put your hand over your heart and you think about your mom and you think about all the wonderful memories that you've had with her over the years, what are the sensations that you're feeling in your heart as you have those warm, joyous, just yummy memories of you and your mom at Christmas?
Well, I feel happy because I remember all the, you know, happy times that we had together.
And is there something going on in your heart? How does your heart feel as you remember the happy times?
It kind of feels like it's uplifted because I, you know, thinking of only the happy times.
Okay. So
I don't have that down feeling, you know, in my heart.
Yeah. And you know what? This is what we call a resource. Every time you put your hand on your heart, and you close your eyes, it's like you can visit with your mom. And you can remember all those happy, wonderful times that you shared with her. And when you're missing her, you just put your hand over your heart and you close your eyes and you imagine that your mom is with you and that you're talking. And did you have a favorite drink? Did you like to drink hot cocoa with her or coffee or tea?
Yeah, a lot of times because she loves her tea, we'll drink tea together and then we start to laugh because she was always, you know, a fun person. And
it sounds like you had such a wonderful mom. And
oh,
you know,
I did.
My next question to you is, how do you keep your mom's memory alive for your grandson so that he could really get to know her? Because he was 3 years old when she passed away. So how do you keep your mom's memory alive for your grandson and your daughter?
Well, every so often we'll, you know, talk about her. Of course, you know, I would tell, you know, some stories to my grandson, but I guess because it hurts me so much that I kind of shy away from that.
But when you put your hand over your heart and you have those wonderful memories, do you feel pain?
No, I feel happy when I, you know, remember her. Yes.
Isn't that amazing? So now, every time you put your hand on your heart and you think about your mom, it could be a happy feeling. You could replace the sadness and the depression with memories of joy and laughter.
That would be nice. Maybe I have to start doing that. Always put my hand on my heart.
When you want to remember your mom and have a good memory and feel like you're visiting with her, you could just make yourself a cup of tea, close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, and just be flooded with positive memories of you and your mom.
I think I like that.
Yeah. I would like that for you.
Nice. Yeah.
And maybe you could create.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now maybe you can create new memories and laughter and joy with your daughter and grandson. And know that
maybe
you're.
By now, maybe she'll be smiling over us.
I think she would be so happy to know that you're keeping her memory alive and continuing the tradition that you found so meaningful and so much joy in by passing it down to your daughter and your grandson.
That would be nice, something to carry on. So I guess I'll do that. So, you know, when the time comes, then I go, then they will carry on what, you know, supposedly I would teach them the tradition from my mother, from generation to generation, I guess.
Isn't that beautiful?
So
generation
beautiful.
To generation. And, you know, my parents passed away. My dad passed away in 2016 and my mom in 2018. And I also lost my sister in 2010. So I've had a lot of loss in my life. But I talk about them all the time. And I laugh and I joke about them. And every time I talk about them, I have such a warm feeling because I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, And my granddaughter knows my, even though, you know, she never met my dad and my mom, she was 3 months old when my mom passed away.
Oh, right.
But she knows my parents and my sister through all of the stories that I share. And when we're grieving and we feel like we just don't want to go on, it hurts so much. The more we talk about it and the more we share stories, the lighter we get. And we can use our body as a resource. Like putting your hand over your heart is a connection, is now a connection between you and your mom that you can have forever and ever. And nobody can ever take that away from you, that connection. It's always there for you.
Right.
How does that feel?
Yeah, feels good. Yeah, I think it's about time I start to share my memories with my, you know, my daughter and my grandson. Yeah.
Oh, I'm smiling, and so is Melissa. Yeah. We're both smiling from ear to ear. Melissa, what do you think?
I think it's spectacular that you're using this hand on your heart connection. I think that that's so beautiful, and I love what you just took her through. Kat, how do you feel after putting your hand to your heart and thinking about your mother in this way?
Right. I feel good. I feel better. And I guess I've never saw that side of, you know, always the grieving side, but never the happy side, you know. And we had actually more happy times than sad times, you know. But,
And we can have both. Like, sometimes, like, I had a funny, like, if I could share a funny story. We have a commercial break here. 1 minute. Okay, so really quick story. We had an issue with my 5-year-old granddaughter. And I channeled my mother because my mother was such a warrior for her children. She was like a mother bear protecting her cubs. And boy, nobody better mess with her cubs. Right. And when I thought about my granddaughter and my daughter, I was like, okay, what would my mom do? And I instantly knew I could hear my mother's words.
Right.
And they're always with us. We just have to keep them alive inside of us.
Yes, definitely.
Kat, thank you so much for your call. I'm so grateful. And I wish
thank you very much.
Thank you,
for
Kat.
For helping me.
Oh,
thank
and
you very
I wish
much
you
for helping
a,
me.
You're so welcome. And I wish you a very happy, joyous Christmas with a lot of laughter. Just like your mom.
And memories. And with that, we're going to take our next commercial break. But when we get back, we'll hear more from Dorit and Melissa. You're listening to Call for Justice right here on 790 KABC. We are back with Call for Justice. You're listening to Melissa Lefkowitz, criminal defense attorney.
And Dorit Reichenthal, relationship and trauma recovery coach.
And tonight, for the holidays, we are doing counseling with counselors. Our first question was for Dorit. And Dorit is so popular tonight that she actually has a second question calling in. We have a caller named Joelle. Joelle, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hi, Joelle. Welcome to the program. How can How can I support you tonight?
Well, I'm just having difficulties setting boundaries with my mom, and it's especially difficult around the holidays.
Oh, yeah. You know, isn't it amazing how the holidays can just bring back all those old memories? You know, the previous caller had such wonderful memories around the holidays. And I'm wondering, do you have wonderful memories or are they bringing up some negative emotion for you?
Yeah, more negative emotions.
Ah, okay. So what's going on?
Like I said, it's just hard to set boundaries. My mom can be very negative and very manipulative and very critical of both me and my children. And I just really need help setting those boundaries.
I love your call because boundaries are so misunderstood. So many people think that boundaries are punitive or about punishment. And boundaries are not for other people. Boundaries are for ourselves. When we set a boundary, we're telling the world, here's what I need, here's what I want in order to have a safe relationship. And so when I help individuals or couples or sometimes families set relationship boundaries, I have a script that I use. And Joelle, do you have a paper and pen near handy?
I do, actually.
Cool.
Yes.
So what would be a boundary? Give me an example of a boundary that you would like to set with your mom.
No critical talk about or to me or my children, and no baby talk. My mom tends to talk in baby talk, and it's very uncomfortable for all of us in my family.
And so your mother's a grandmother, and she talks baby talk?
Yes.
Wow. That's really frustrating. That's so frustrating. And Melissa, you're looking at me right now, but I know exactly what Joelle is talking about. I have a very close friend who we have argued so many times because she starts going into her baby talk and she's got grown children and she'll pinch my cheeks. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world to be an adult and yet talk baby talk. And then you said so these are two separate boundaries. So we'll take them one at a time. How about we do the baby talk first? Does that work for you? It sounds like the second boundary is around your mom being critical and judgmental of you and your family.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you, let me check in with you. Which boundary would you like to take first? What's the most pressing boundary?
Probably with my children and me, which is most important, is the critical.
Okay, then let's do that one first in case we run out of time. Okay, ready?
Sure.
So we always start a boundary with, in order to keep our relationship safe, when you say or do. I mean, the other person needs to know what they say and what they do has an impact on you. So in order to keep our relationship safe, when you are critical and judgmental of me and the kids, it makes me feel dot, dot, dot. So how does it make you feel when your mom is critical and judgmental?
Judged.
Right. To write that down, it makes me feel judged.
Defensive.
Defensive is an impact. How about disrespected?
Disrespected, yes, absolutely.
Okay, how about devalued?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's a perfect descriptor.
I'm able to describe this because I have people in my own life who can be very judgmental and critical of me. And when they are, it makes me feel really disrespected, not valued, not cared for, not loved, maybe dismissed.
Yes. Gosh, yes.
Okay, all of the above.
I'm on the head. Yes.
Okay, great. And the impact it has on you. So you said the impact it has on you is it causes you to be defensive.
Yes.
What else?
causes me to be very protective of myself and then especially of my children. And honestly, it makes me feel exhausted. Having to go into that protective mode, it's exhausting.
Right. It's exhausting. And so what I heard you say is it's exhausting. You become defensive and protective of yourself and your family.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the impact. And what will you do? What do you need to do in order to feel safe when your mom is critical and judgmental of you? There always has to be an action. So what do you want to do?
Honestly, I feel like I have to, in order to protect us, I feel like I have to disengage.
Okay.
I feel like that's the only way.
That's perfectly fair. Absolutely, that's fair. And I will disengage. Now, are you going to disengage forever because your mom doesn't like the dress you're wearing?
I hope not.
Or the color of your hair or the way you put your makeup on?
No, I mean, I don't want to.
Right. Of course not. So I will disengage until when?
Until you can stop doing those things or until I can feel safe spending time with you.
Ah.
And confident that those things aren't going to happen.
Beautiful. Until I see that you understand the impact criticizing me, judging me, and my family has on me. Because once you see that she gets it because she's changed her behavior, she's monitoring her criticism, right? She's working hard not to be critical and judgmental because she loves you and she wants to be with you. And when you see that she gets it, that's going to make you feel safe. And as you feel safer, what will you do?
I'll be willing to spend more time with her.
Exactly.
I will.
Right. I will re-engage with you and spend more time with you. And so this is what I call a relationship boundary, where we identify the unsafe or hurtful behavior. We help the other person understand how it makes you feel, the impact it has on you, and what action you're going to take until you see and get the impact she gets, the impact it has on you, and you notice that she's changing the behavior so that it's safe for you to re-engage. And does that feel punitive or punishing?
I don't think so. I'm afraid that she might take it that way, but no, I don't think so at all. I would want somebody to tell me.
Right?
I was hurting someone.
Sure. And not only that, but we all want to be in a safe relationship. The problem is we don't usually establish the rules of engagement. If we all knew what the rules were, then we would work really hard not to hurt the other person's feelings, because most of us don't want to be hurtful, right?
No.
Okay. So in a minute or so, we're going to have to go to commercial break, and I want to help you with that second boundary. How does this boundary feel to you right now? Do you feel like you can do this with your mom?
I do, yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough, but I think this is in a lot better way than I would say it without your help, so thank you.
So, Joelle, the other part of it is it can be said in a very loving, caring way. A boundary doesn't have to be set in a mean way where a person is going to feel bad. because the boundary is for both of you. It's a way of improving your relationship because, well, I'm going to check in with you, but is part of the, I think you said something about your mom guilting you or feeling that she manipulates you and she guilts you?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You know, most moms want to spend time with their kids. Most, you know, especially as our kids and grandkids, they get very busy and they don't have time for us. And we feel, a lot of times we feel alone and rejected. And if we knew what we had to do to spend more quality times with our kids and grandkids, most of us would be more than willing to do that. We just need to understand what the other person needs and wants. There might be a little resistance at first, but consistency and predictability is really important. And I'm going to talk about it when we come back, just how important consistency and predictability is in a relationship.
Great.
Okay, awesome.
So, Joelle, stay tuned. We're going to get right back to you. And if you're listening to Call for Justice, don't change that channel. We'll be back with more counseling with counselors. Hey, everybody. We're back with Call for Justice. You're listening to Dorit and Melissa. And Dorit was in the middle of giving some of the best counseling I've ever heard. She's absolutely incredible. We've got somebody named Joelle on the phone. Joelle, are you still with us?
Hi, yes, I'm still here.
Okay, well,
Joelle,
do you
agree that she's phenomenal? I mean, how are you feeling after that whole boundary thing on the first segment?
I wrote all of it down, and I can't wait to do it, and I also can't wait to share it with friends. This is brilliant.
All right.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing with us, because it helping you helps other people. Being able to share your story actually gets the word out to other people who have similar stories, and believe it or not, you're so very much not alone, Joelle.
Not only that, but I do want to say, Melissa, you're not objective. You and I have a mutual admiration society, so...
That's true. I do think that Dorit is the most fabulous, phenomenal emphasis
on
fun.
Well, you're not objective. Clearly not
ever.
Objective.
But listen, I feel that you've earned that title with me.
Okay.
And I feel that you should have a cape. You're a superhero.
Oh,
anyway,
my gosh.
Back to Joelle.
Okay. Ready, Joelle?
We're going to talk baby talk.
Yes.
Oh, but we're not going to talk in baby talk, Joelle, because
Thank
that would
you.
Be unnerving and annoying.
It's not only is it unnerving and annoying, but... it's especially unnerving and annoying when it's an adult, a grandmother, who talks baby talk. And believe it or not, that's not an uncommon situation.
Well, can I just ask a question really quickly so I can get like a picture of what's going on? Joelle, how old are your children?
17 and 15.
Oh, okay. That's right. Different than I thought. So what is she going up to them like, hello, darling? Like, what are we talking about? What are we?
Can you give us an
example? Give me an example of the, like, you look so gorgeous. What? I don't get it.
No, it's more along the lines of what I said about the manipulation. It's when it's kind of like a way to get something that she wants. For instance, if she calls and I don't respond right away and then I say, you know, Mom, I'm busy, I'm working. Then the baby talk comes, well, I just want to know what you're doing.
Oh,
I just miss you and need you, which then makes me feel extremely guilty. So it's a lot of times I feel, obviously Dorit is the expert, not me, but I feel it's a form of manipulation and it's a form of avoiding taking responsibility when I do share something that bothers me.
So, but you're also talking about whining. She's not only talking baby talk, she's whining.
Yes.
I know when my own kids whine, that's like nails on a chalkboard when somebody whines.
Yes.
It's really hard to listen to.
I don't know, and I feel terrible saying this, but I literally cringe when I hear it coming.
Oh, yeah.
And the grandchildren do, too. It's not just me. I mean, I've got my kids. And then I've got nieces and nephews, and they don't like it either. And
okay, so let me see if I can help you with this a little bit, okay? Because I can hear just how challenging the situation is. And by the way, do the holidays make it worse? Is there, does the holidays, like, does this have anything to do with the holidays, or is this just a year-round thing and it's an ongoing issue?
It's been ongoing. To give you perspective, I'm 50 years old now, and it's been going on since I was in junior high school. That I can, those are my earliest memories of it. So,
ongoing. That's a long time. Okay, let me see what I can
do. A lot of baby talk.
That's a lot of baby talk. Oh boy. All righty, ready? So we're going to do the same thing. Okay, Mom, in order to keep our relationship safe, when you go into baby talk and start whining, it makes me feel, how does it make you feel?
I feel like anything I say is going to be so mean, but it literally just, it makes me, my whole body tense up, and it just makes me cringe.
Okay, it makes me feel anxious.
Yes.
Upset. The impact is cringe. Right? That's what your body does. That's how you respond. But the emotion, the feeling is really anxious, upset, because everyone, this is really important. It's a parent's job to take care of the child, not the child's job to take care of the parents. And the only time it becomes the child's job to take care of the parents is when the parents are really elderly and sick and they need our physical, emotional support and care. Like, that's an appropriate time. But up until that time, as long as they have all of their faculties intact, it is a parent's job to take care of the child, even adult children, emotional support.
I think you just hit on something, then, to add to, if I can add one of the things that makes you feel, it's anger. It makes me angry when she talks like that, because it does make me feel then that I've got to go into that caretaker mode and make her feel better about whatever.
Oh, interesting.
Of course, it would make, absolutely would make you angry. And
but her reasoning is so interesting. The fact that she feels that she has to go into a caretaker mode.
Well, she's got a little girl in front of her.
It's right. A little, if she's when, talking like a baby.
Right. So when she's whining and she's talking like a baby, she's got a little girl, not a mom. And that's kind of scary. It does make you really anxious and angry, and it's unnerving, because I want my mom. I don't want a little girl. And we're all grown up, right? That's, am I getting that? Am I with you?
Yeah, no, you absolutely. And you just talking this through, literally talking through, I never identified that anger before, but that's absolutely, I feel like the baby talk is manipulating me, and I am angry because I'm being manipulated, and now I've got to... Because it's like, oh, I'm just this wounded little girl, and now it's up to you to make me feel better because you hurt my feelings. That's
right.
What and, it feels like.
Okay. And so then the next part is, and the impact it has on me. So it's really what you just said. It makes me cringe. It makes me feel like I have to take care of you, that you're a wounded little girl, and I have to take care of you. And doesn't it feel, I'm just wondering, do you feel abandoned by your mother?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because she's
absolutely
abdicating her responsibility as a mother. And now you have to take, now you've been parentified. And I'm just wondering, how old were you when you were first parentified by your mom?
As long as I can remember, I have always felt like I had to take care of my mom. Like going back to junior high school.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And so many children. By any chance, do you come from an alcoholic family system?
Yes.
Or an addiction family system?
Not my immediate family, but yes, both heavy alcoholism in grandparents on both sides.
Okay. So I've just been told we only have less than 3 minutes. I want to take you through this. Okay. So the impact, we've got it. it makes you cringe. She's abandoned you and you have to take care of her. And what will you do now? What's the action that you're going to take?
I just like in the other situation, right? I feel like disengage is
exactly
the only way to stop.
That's right. And I will disengage until when?
Until I'm confident you're not going to talk like that and make me, and that you're going to be the mom and I get to be the child and my kids get to be the grandkids.
Beautiful. So until I see that you understand the impact it has on me and you can communicate as an adult, as my mom, as my children's grandmother, consistently and predictably is incredibly important. And then I will re-engage with you. And that's your boundary.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Joelle, thank you so much for calling. I hope you got some benefit from this counseling with counselor.
Oh my gosh, did I ever.
Amazing. I'm so thrilled. Now, everybody who's listening, we tried something new this week and I absolutely loved it. Dorit, you use your hands to do therapy. You use your mind, body, and soul. I've never seen anything like this. How can we reach you?
You can reach me at 310-721-2119. And if you have, any kind of issue, we're going to have more programs like this interspersed with other calls for justice. But if you have any issues, please call in, write to us. And Melissa, how can
call
we reach you?
Call us at 800-222-5222. And Dorit will always answer your questions. If you want to reach me, you can always reach me at 213-DUI-TEAM. This is Melissa Lefkowitz, criminal defense attorney.
And Dorit Reichenthal, relationship and trauma recovery coach.
And you've been listening to Call for Justice on 790 AM KABC.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.